The ovens and stoves which they had during the times of the Mishnah would usually have a hole in one of the walls which served as a vent to allow the smoke to exit the oven. Now, we've already seen that the walls of at least the tanur, the cone-shaped oven, which was narrower at the top and was used for baking bread, there would be a very thick layer of clay surrounding the outside of the walls of the oven, which would mean that the walls would be pretty thick. So the question arises, what would be the law if ha-sheretz shenimtzel ba'ayin shel tanur, if a sheretz, a small dead animal which is listed in the Torah as being a source of impurity, if a sheretz is found in the hole of the oven, resting on the thickness of the wall where the hole is? The question is the thickness of the wall itself considered to be part of the inside, part of the airspace of the kli, or perhaps the airspace only begins within the walls? Or if we had a case where the sheretz was found ba'ayin shel kira in the hole of a kira, a double stove, ba'ayin shel kupach, or in the hole of a kupach, a stove which has room for just one pot at the top of it. So the Mishnah Menachos Sofer Panimus V'Lachutz, any point of the oven which is from the inner edge of the wall and outwards, as long as the sheretz hasn't entered into the actual inside further inwards than the walls, tahor, the oven would remain pure because the thickness of the wall itself and the hole which is within the wall is not considered to be part of the airspace of the oven. Now, the most severe level of impurity is a dead body, and the law is that anything which is situated underneath the same roof as the dead body, any kalim, anything which can become tomei, would become impure by the very fact that it's situated under the same roof. And because of that, if instead of a sheretz being in that hole, there is a piece of a dead human body, so really it's irrelevant whether this is considered to be part of the airspace of the oven or not, because from the fact that it's underneath the same roof as the oven, that itself would cause the oven to become tomei. However, it does really make a difference in a case where if the oven was situated underneath the air, underneath the sky, it wasn't in a room, and it wasn't a different roof on top of the oven, in that case, even if there is the size of an olive from a dead human body, tahar, the oven would remain pure, because there's no roof on top of it, and it's not within the airspace of the oven. However, if the size of the hole was such that vim yesh shom pisach tefach, it is a tefach cubed, a tefach by tefach by a tefach, halachically speaking, the top of that cube of space is considered to be a roof, which means that the entire area of the hole itself would become impure and sort of filled with impurity via the piece of dead human body. And because that area, that airspace, is connected directly with the airspace of the oven itself, in that case, hakol tomei, the entire oven would become impure as a result of being connected to an area which has a roof on top of it, which has become filled with impurity from a dead body. Mishnah Ches, the way that the stove was shaped is essentially, it was like a large box upside down, and the pot would be placed on top of it, and at the bottom, in the middle, there would be an opening through which wood would be placed, twigs, and the fuel for the fire would be placed underneath the area where the pot would be placed in order to heat up the stove and for the heat to rise and heat up the food which is in the pot. So once again, the question arises as to what is the status of this area, which is essentially a large hole in the wall, or the bottom of the stove in the middle, through which wood would be placed into the stove. Nimtza mekoyim anachas ha'itzim, if a sheretz, a small animal which is a source of impurity, is found in the area in which the wood was put. Rabbi Yehuda says, min hasofa hachitzayna v'lefnim, if it's found anywhere from the outer edge of the wall and further inwards, tomei, it would make the oven impure. Although throughout the rest of the oven, the walls caused that only further inwards would be part of the airspace of the oven, since the wood, when it would be placed in the oven, it would usually quite often stretch into this area as well, this hole which was in line with the thickness of the wall, and as a result, it's considered to be part of the inside of the oven because it was used together with the main part of the oven, the stove. But the Chacham say, Misof ha-pinimis v'lachutz, tohar, if the sheretz is found at any point from the inner edge and outwards, it would be pure. It would not make the stove impure. Because it might be true that the wood and the twigs would sometimes stretch into that area, but at the end of the day, it's in line with the thickness of the wall, and it's not considered to be the inside of the kli. It's not the inside of the oven. Rabbi Yossi says a third interesting opinion, that the inside of the oven is defined based on the way that the stove worked. Unlike a tanur, which was cone-shaped and would be used for baking bread, where the dough would be placed on the walls of the oven itself, the way that a stove works is very different. The fire would be heated at the bottom, and the pot would be placed on top of the stove. And as a result, according to Rabbi Yossi, Mekeneged Shefisas HaKedeyo VeLefnim Tomei, any part of the stove which is directly in line with where the pot is placed and further inwards, Tomei, that would make the oven Tomei if a sheretz is situated over there. But Mekeneged Shefisas HaKedeyo VeLachutz, corresponding in line with the place where the pot would be placed on top of the stove and further outwards, if a sheretz is found there, then tohar, the oven would remain pure. So this could split the thickness of the wall into two, if the pot would usually rest on half of the thickness of the wall, and at the same time, if the pot was able to stand further inwards and not on top of the walls at all, then it could be that even part of the inside of the stove itself would not be able to become Tomei. Or if a sheretz was found there, it wouldn't make the stove Tomei. It all depends on that area which is directly in line with where the pot is placed, because that is the way that a stove cooks. The second half of the Mishnah discusses particular stoves which were much, much larger than a regular stove used for cooking. It was much larger than a person's height, so much so that at the entrance of the stove, that is to say the area where they would place the wood at the bottom of the stove, right outside of the stove there was a kind of bench or a stool attached outside of this stove for a person to sit there as he's watching over the stove and the heating up of this large structure. And the Mishnah says, Nimtza mekayim yeshivas habalon, if a sheretz is found in the place right underneath where the balon sits. The balon is the person who sits outside of a bathhouse, and he's responsible over heating up the bathhouse, and he would take money from people as they went in. Or mekayim yeshivas hatzaba, if it was found underneath the kind of bench or stool where a dyer would sit. He would also use a very, very large structure like this. Or if it was found underneath Mekom Yeshivas Shel Shulchei Zeisim, underneath where the people who cook and process olives would sit, they would also have the very large structure used as a vat for processing the olives. In all of these cases, Tohar, this large structure itself, would remain pure, because the area underneath the bench which is connected to the stove is certainly not considered to be part of the inside of the large structure itself. This is the purpose of the bench, is just for the person to sit on. It has a totally different purpose to the large structure itself. And therefore, if a sheretz is there, it would not be considered to be in the inside of the structure, and it would not make the structure impure. Now, quite interestingly, the Mishnah repeats Rabbi Yossi's opinion from earlier on in this Mishnah, that with regards to a stove, ein tomei ela min hastimum velefnim, the oven would become tomei only if the source of impurity is found further inwards from where the pot closes off the opening at the top, meaning only in line with where the food would be placed on top of the stove, would that be part of the inside of the stove. One explanation for why the Mishnah repeats this is to show that with regards to the examples which the Mishnah just gave in the second half of the Mishnah, with these massive structures, even the other opinions, the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda, would agree that even the inner part and the inner edge of this bench of the person who would sit outside of the structure, that would all not be part of the inside of the structure, because once again, it's not connected at all in terms of its purpose and function. Mr. Tetz, we mentioned a few times that the fact that an oven and a stove can become impure is really an exception to two basic laws and rules with regards to kelim becoming impure. Firstly, in general, kelim which are attached to the ground cannot become tomei. And secondly, only kelim which are able to hold things and they have a bottom to contain different items or liquids, only they can become tomei. An oven is both connected to the ground and does not have a bottom of its own. The bottom of the oven is the ground itself. And nevertheless, the Torah says that it can become tomei. However, the example which the Torah talks about is a regular oven used for cooking food. And because of that, ovens which might have very similar structures, but whose purpose is totally different, we may well revert to the regular rules, and as such, the oven would not be able to become tomei, as this Mishnah will describe. Borosh yesh boi beis shvisa, a pit in the ground that has a place on top of it on which one is able to place a pot, and technically one is able to use that as a stove for cooking food. There is clay around the inside of the walls of the pit, and even though this might not be the classic, most standard oven, or stove in this case, it was used as a stove because the food was placed on top of it, nevertheless, its function is virtually the same, and therefore tomei, it still can become impure, just like a regular stove. Not only that, but Mishal Oses Chuchis, a pit which has clay in the inside, and whose main function is by making glass, and the process for such would require a lot of heat. However, in Yeshba Beis Shvisa, if there is a place on top of that pit on which one is able to place a pot, so occasionally that's what he would use the pit for. Even though it's not his main function, since it's also used for that, tomei can become impure. However, kivshon shel seyodin, a furnace used by people who make lime, or shel zagogin, people who professionally make glass, and this is talking about a different part of the procedure for making glass, where even higher levels of heat were required, the shel yotzrim, or pottery makers, the furnaces that they would use were much hotter, and they were never used for cooking food. And therefore, even if they have a very similar structure to Hora, they cannot become tomei, because since they're not used for food, we revert back to the regular rules, and since they're not able to hold things and they're connected to the ground, they cannot become tomei. Continues the Mishnah, Purna, this is a type of very large oven, which is shaped more like a stove, in that it's like a giant cuboid. However, whereas a stove would usually cook the food when the food was placed on top of it, this very large oven would cook food which was placed inside. There would be enough room to place several pots inside this giant structure. So it didn't have a hole on top of it, like a stove. It was really like an oven. Just it wasn't cone-shaped and it wasn't for dough being cooked on the walls of the oven, but rather pots would be placed inside, and that's how they would be cooked. Now, it could be that the pots were placed on the ground, but there were certain structures like this that had a floor going around the perimeter of the inside of the oven, and the pots would be placed on this floor. It wasn't that the entire bottom of the oven had a floor, but at least part of it did on the edges, as the diagram for this Mishnah can show. And the Mishnah says, "Im yesh lo lizbeis," if it does have such a kind of floor or a shelf on which the pots were placed, then tomei, the oven can become impure, because the heat of this part of the structure would contribute to the heating up of the food. Just like a tanur, a regular oven used for baking bread, bakes the bread. So in that case, it would be considered similar enough to the example of the oven which the Torah gives. However, if there is no such structure on the inside of this large oven, but rather the pots are placed on the floor, then it would not be able to become tomei, because the way of cooking like this is not like the way that the regular oven or stove cooks the food, and therefore it's not included in what the Torah talked about, so we revert to the regular laws, and it cannot become tomei since it does not have a bottom and it's attached to the ground. The Mishnah now brings two more opinions which actually agree with the exact same law which was just stated. They just heard the same law from their teachers using a different word to describe this kind of floor which went around part of the inside of the oven. And because one is supposed to repeat over that which they heard from their teachers in the same way as they heard it, the Mishnah brings these two opinions as well, even though it's exactly the same as that which was stated in the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda says, "Im yesh lo istigiyos," if it has istigiyos, that refers to this floor going around it. And Rabbi Gamliel Omer, "Im yesh lo sefoyos," Rabbi Gamliel says, if it has sefoyos, which literally means the edges or the openings, and it's referring to the same thing, then it would be able to become tomei. And once again, this can be shown in the diagram. Mr. Yud, in the first half of the parak, we saw three different ways for food to, so to speak, be protected from becoming tomei by being in the airspace of a tomei oven or a tomei earthenware utensil. The Mishnah is going to bring a case where none of those three is applicable. Magat tomei meis, somebody who touched a person who had become tomei from a dead body. So the first person who had become tomei from the dead body became an av hatumah, and the person who touched him became a rishon latumah. which means that he has a level of impurity which can make food and liquid impure. And this person, he had food or drink inside of his mouth, and he stuck his head into the airspace of a pure oven. So in this case, the food and drink will definitely be tome. They'll have the status of a sheni l'toma, and liquid, which is found in the airspace of an earthenware utensil, like an oven, would midrabanon make that oven impure. Even though kelim in general cannot become tome except from an av hatoma, midrabanon, any liquid which is tome, even if it's only a sheni l'toma, it's two steps removed from the original source of impurity, even then, midrabanon, it can make the earthenware utensil tome. The question is the fact that it's inside the person's mouth a protection from that tumor affecting the oven or not? So the first way of protection that we've seen is toich toichai, if it's inside a kli which is inside the oven. That does not apply over here because it's inside a person's mouth. A person is not a kli, and therefore it cannot be considered to be toich toichai inside a kli which is inside the earthenware utensil. What about tumor blua? Tumor blua is when the source of impurity or the impure item is swallowed up fully, so it can't escape. That only applies to something which has been swallowed up totally by a person, or if it's been stuck inside a different item, but over here that it's in a person's mouth, it's not considered to be sufficiently swallowed up totally. And what about tzomid posil, where something is totally sealed and closed? That also does not apply over here, because the lips are not considered to be a seal. They can be opened very easily, and they're not fully shut enough to be considered tzomid posil. And apart from that, tzomid posil only protects from tumor entering into that item. It doesn't protect from tumor exiting from there into the oven and making the oven impure. And because none of these three protections apply, tim'uhu, the tome liquids would make the oven impure. Likewise, the tohar, a tohar person, somebody who was pure, he had food or drink inside of his mouth, and he stuck his head into the airspace of a tome oven. The question is whether the food and drink would become tome, whether it's considered to be in the airspace of the oven, or perhaps one of the three ways of protecting the food would apply. Says the Mishnah, no, none of them apply because of the reasons that we explained, and therefore nitma'u, the food and drink would become impure. The second half of the Mishnah discusses the status of saliva in a person's mouth, and whether we view that as a liquid, just like any water, and as such it would both be able to become tome, and also if it itself is tome, would make any other thing impure, midrabanon, even kelim. Or perhaps we don't look at it as a liquid, it's something which is naturally in the mouth, but it's not significant and it's not considered to be an entity in and of itself, and as such, it would not be able to become tomei. So somebody was eating figs, devela refers to figs which have been pressed together, and he was eating them with impure hands. The truth is, refers to hands which haven't been washed, and a person hasn't been consciously watching over his hands where they touch, and midrabanon, one's hands, unless they've been consciously watched over or washed, midrabanon, they are considered to be tomei, just the hands. So a person who had such hands, he hadn't washed them, and he was eating pressed figs, and he put his hand or his finger into his mouth in order to remove a small stone that had been found in his mouth, it was in the figs. Rabbi Meir says that the figs will be impure, because the hands make the liquid impure, midrabanon, and the liquid in turn makes the figs impure. But Rabbi Yehuda says that the figs would remain pure because the saliva is not considered to be like a regular liquid. So not only would it not make the figs impure, but even the saliva itself would not become tomei. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that once the saliva would leave the person's mouth, then it would become a liquid. But as long as it's contained within the mouth, we do not look at it as an entity in and of itself, and it does not have the status of a regular liquid. Rabbi Yehuda says, im hofach, if the person turned around the saliva in his mouth, he moved the saliva from one place in his mouth to a different place, then it becomes a liquid. Then we look at it as no longer just a natural part of the mouth, but we look at it now as a liquid. And tome, it would be tome, and it would make the figs tome. But im lo hafach, if he hadn't moved the saliva around in his mouth, then tohar, it and the figs would be pure. The Mishnah ends off with another example with regards to saliva. If somebody had a coin in his mouth, When a person got very thirsty and he didn't have water available, they would put a coin or a different piece of metal into his mouth, which would cause more saliva to be produced. And in this case, Rabbi Yossi agrees that even if he hadn't moved the saliva about, since this is not something which is naturally produced in the mouth, but rather they're doing something to produce the saliva, in that case, he would look at the saliva as its own entity. And Rabbi Yossi says, if they did this for his thirst, then they want the saliva, they are creating it, and tomei, it would become tomei and make the figs impure as well.